Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, September 9th. Happy Missions Monday. We are in Romans chapter 8 today. Remember, we are trekking through the life and ministry of Paul. And today in Romans, Paul is talking about life in the Spirit. I am reading in the Contemporary English Version again this week. The title in this Bible says, Living by the Power of God's Spirit. If you belong to Christ Jesus, you won't be punished. The Holy Spirit will give you life that comes from Christ Jesus and will set you free from sin and death. The law of Moses cannot do this because our selfish desires make the law weak. But God set you free when He sent His own Son to be like us sinners and to be a sacrifice for our sin. God used Christ's body to condemn sin. He did this so that we would do what the law commands by obeying the Spirit instead of our own desires. People who are ruled by their desires think only of themselves. Everyone who is ruled by the Holy Spirit thinks about spiritual things. If our minds are ruled by our desires, we will die. But if our minds are ruled by the Spirit, we will have life and peace. Our desires fight against God because they do not and cannot obey God's laws. If we follow our desires, we cannot please God. You are no longer ruled by your desires, but by God's Spirit who lives in you. People who don't have the Spirit of Christ in them don't belong to Him. But Christ lives in you. So you are alive because God has accepted you, even though your bodies must die because of your sins. Yet God raised Jesus to life. God's Spirit now lives in you, and He will raise you to life by His Spirit. My dear friends, we must not live to satisfy our desires. If you do, you will die. But you will live if, by the help of God's Spirit, you say no to your desires. Only those people who are led by God's Spirit are His children. God's Spirit doesn't make us slaves who are afraid of Him. Instead, we become His children and call Him our Father. God's Spirit makes us sure that we are His children. His Spirit lets us know that together with Christ, we will be given what God has promised. We will also share in the glory of Christ because we have suffered with Him. The title in the next section is A Wonderful Future for God's People. I am sure what we are suffering now cannot compare with the glory that will be shown to us. In fact, all creation is eagerly waiting for God to show who His children are. Meanwhile, creation is confused, but not because it wants to be confused. God made it this way in the hope that creation would be set free from decay and would share in the glorious freedom of His children. We know that all creation is still groaning and is in pain, like a woman about to give birth. The Spirit makes us sure about what we will be in the future, but now we groan silently while we wait for God to show that we are His children. This means that our bodies will also be set free. And this hope is what saves us. But if we already have what we hope for, there is no need to keep on hoping. However, we hope for something we have not yet seen, and we patiently wait for it. In certain ways, we are weak, but the Spirit is here to help us. For example, when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit prays for us in ways that cannot be put into words. All of our thoughts are known to God. He can understand what is in the mind of the Spirit, as the Spirit prays for God's people. We know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves Him. They are the ones God has chosen for His purpose, and He has always known who His chosen ones would be. He had decided to let them become like His own Son, so His Son would be the first of many children. God then accepted the people He had already decided to choose, and He has shared His glory with them. What can we say about all this? If God is on our side, can anyone be against us? God did not keep back His own Son, but He gave Him for us. If God did this, won't He freely give us everything else? If God says His chosen ones are acceptable to Him, can anyone bring charges against them? Or can anyone condemn them? No, indeed. Christ died and was raised to life, and now He is at God's right side, speaking to Him for us. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, suffering, and hard times, or hunger, and nakedness, or danger, and death? It is exactly as the Scriptures say, "For you we face death all day long. We are like sheep on their way to be butchered. In everything, we have won more than a victory because of Christ who loves us. I'm sure that nothing can separate us from God's love, not life or death, not angels or spirits, not the present or the future, and not powers above or powers below. Nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I notice here three groanings, creation groans. The world around us, if you look, it shows us the picture of death that comes with sin. Even in the seasons, things die. And then they're reborn. Also, animals, they seem to be at enmity with one another. One day, that will not be the case. And one day, we'll be at peace with all creation in the restored heavens and earth. This passage reminds us that people groan as well. We know that things aren't as they should be. And so death and disease and all the different maladies of this world cause us to groan. We are waiting for redemption, restoration, renewal. And then finally, the Spirit groans in us. When we don't know what to say, the Spirit groans on our behalf. One thing that is a huge takeaway from this passage that I want to encourage you today is that in verse 35, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. As we segue into the missions moment, I want us to think about the mission of God's church, of Mountain Brook Baptist, and also the church global, and how God calls us to share this wonderful message of His peace with humanity. How He has made a way for us to have reconciled relationships with Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It was wonderful yesterday to celebrate our church's 80th anniversary and to be reminded that churches everywhere are built by people who were given a vision by God to reach their community. And so as we end today, I would like for us to pray the litany that was written yesterday for our anniversary. Will you pray with me? Almighty and everlasting God, thank you for drawing us as a congregation to you to become part of your church. Thank you for those who have gone before us, who listened to your voice and were obedient to your call to organize this congregation for for your purpose. Help us to teach our children your ways and the church's history so they will know who you are and who they can be. Inspire us with a vision for the future and use that vision to direct the path of this congregation. Help us to lean not on our own understanding, but to lean on every promise of your word. Grant us the authority to conquer all divisiveness and fill us with a desire to love one another. May the Holy Spirit continue to infuse all churches that love Jesus with courage, hope, and grace. Teach us to know your voice. Give us the courage to listen and obey as we hear it. And may we not be hearers only, but may we, through this church, dedicate ourselves to your service to be a light for Christ to the city of Mountain Brook and for the world. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, even until the end of the age. Amen.